Morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. And today is Sunday, November 4th, 2018. And we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will begin today with our morning prayer. Lauren.
All right. Mrs. Eddy's prayer, given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. O my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept.
Thank you. And then miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world, if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Now, we seem to maybe have rattled some chains this week, maybe with the Wednesday readings about witchcraft. But anyway, our watch, those of you who joined us, for our watch last night. Very important that we work with these things for ourselves, for our church, for our nation, for our world. Only God's love can reach this church, any of its members, and all that we can give forth is God's love. And the beautiful prayer, I guess, prayer from Watch's Prayers and Arguments, that we've worked with last night. It says in completion, in the beginning, repeat the following affirmation silently several times each day. I took that part out because we were just working on it last night. And then get something out of them, but trying calmly to realize the meaning of the word. So several times each day, think about these things. Establish God's reign on earth. God is all, there is no evil. All is harmony, there is no discord. All is health, there is no sickness. All is spirit, there is no matter. All is joy, there is no sorrow. All is truth, there is no falsehood. All is faith, there is no fear. All is life, there is no death. All is love, there is no hate. Think of what a treatment we are giving to ourselves, to everyone everywhere. Now, I went on, I added some more, and I encourage you to as well. All is peace, there is no strife. All is mind, there is no confusion. All is light, there is no darkness. And whatever comes to you, to pray in that way. And our reader last night was Dale, and Dale, you did a beautiful job reading that. I could feel you were there in the moment. And this is what Mrs. Eddy is asking of us, that we be there in the moment. So we're not trying to conjure up something, she says, but just think, what does this mean? What does this mean? This is the truth. Truth is God gives it. This is the truth about his creation. So, work with this. I was amused today, and I liked it very much, the calendar. When will evil speakers refrain from evil talking? When listeners refrain from evil hearing. So, And sometimes, you know, it is hard not to get drawn up in all this drama that's going on. And, you know, sometimes I think of it, what were those, the soap operas, you know? You sit, people, my grandmother, she used to love to watch As the World Turns. And, you know, it's just one calamity after the next. So sometimes when you turn on the TV or listen to this news, that's what it feels like. So stay your distance. Keep your thought pure and right. Don't get too excited over the whole thing, except to pray for it and know God's presence and power are there. We're going to have on a Thursday, we're going to have the watch, and it's going to be, it's just going to be, for the most part, an article that Linda found. Thank you, Linda. Belief of Invasion by Mildred LeBlanc. We've had it on our website and carousel before. Jeremy will put it back up again. And we'll have that for the watch on Thursday. And if we have time, we'll read some of it today. It is a very, very complete treatment for all kinds of invasion. Invasion of your thoughts. I mean, this time it's talking about an invasion of the nation, of the country. It's probably written
and it was during the World War II.
Yeah, World War II. So, I mean, there's all this talk of invasion. So let's stand our ground with the truth about it. God governs, and every paragraph in this is a treatment. You can use it, work with it. And then, of course, we've got the elections coming up, too. We had a watch on that, knowing no personal will, no this party or that party, but on our knees, thy will be done, Father. What would you have for our country? Thy will be done. Let it happen, and let us have peace about it and not be aggravated about everything, because aggravating and hating, does that do any good for anybody? Of course not. So we keep our peace. We work metaphysically on these things. Okay. Now, before we start the lesson, I will have Linda read the watch.
Watch number 27. Watch lest you believe that you are trying to perfect yourself, rather than to make a channel of yourself through which the perfect idea of man may be expressed. There is a distinction between trying to make a perfect man of yourself and trying to express the perfect man through yourself. There is a difference between washing a window because you like to see the glass clean, or because you desire to have the light shine through perfectly. End quote.
Thank you. That's such a good watching point. And I thank Ray for finding these week after week and also shortening them so they just have the highlight. It's a talent to do that. You could put the whole thing, but it makes it very nice to have it short. Everyone's busy. They don't want to read 3 pages. but anyway, thank you, Ray, wherever you are.
She zones on some great facts that we need to keep in mind.
Absolutely, she does. Bill says she comes on some great facts tonight we need to keep in our hearts and use. And be here for years. Mrs. Evans, she had a special phone for the watching point, and she would change it usually once a week, but sometimes more often. And we would call it and listen to her reading it. That's how we used to get it. And so we became very, very, very familiar with these watching points. They become part of you. So how many of you have tried to perfect yourself?
That doesn't work.
Thank you. That doesn't work. I really, really tried.
We are perfect. God.
And that's the only way we are perfect. We're perfect by getting ourselves out of the way and letting God use us. I can remember years ago, church people would go to a place called Skytop in Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful Mountain resort up in the Poconos. And seemed like I was always getting into some kind of trouble. So anyway, I can remember there was a certain bathroom there. It was off of the game room. It was very private, and hardly anyone ever used it. And I can remember just going in there and crying my eyes out, wondering why I just couldn't do it. And that was the reason what was read. I was trying to perfect myself. And it's so frustrating. It's not what God has in mind. You might be able to do it for a day or a couple hours, but you can't keep trying to be perfect up. And you can't, it's impossible. It's humanly impossible.
I think if you try to perfect yourself, it's going to be by comparison to other people.
Thank you. That's very true. Thank you. A good point. And that brings me to something else. Now we're into the lesson. But hang on. So in Science and Health, citation 4, Jeffrey.
The belief of sin, which has grown terrible strength and influence, is an unconscious error in the beginning, an embryonic thought without motive. But afterwards, it governs the so-called man. Passion, depraved appetite, apathy, envy, hatred, revenge, ripen into action, only to pass from shame and woe to their final punishment.
Thank you. So, you see, and I think that's so great, an unconscious error in the beginning. An embryonic thought without motive, but afterwards it governs the so-called man. So these little thoughts are, you know, like flying around. And if you catch one, say, this one's mine. So mine was trying to make myself perfect. And at first, well, that doesn't seem so bad. I mean, aren't we supposed to be perfect? But then, you see, it grows. And what Jeremy said, it starts to grow, and I didn't realize that in doing that, I was also what, Jeremy?
Putting other people down.
But yeah, or comparing myself, competing.
Condemning yourself, too.
Condemning myself, and then I'm in this whole mess, and I don't even know it, and I'm frustrated and upset and mad at other people, mad at God. I mean, the whole thing just grows. I was controlled by it. And yet, all under the guise of trying to be perfect and obey, but I was, of course, always pleasing whom?
Yourself
and?
Others.
Others, yeah. So one person would want me to be perfect in this way, yeah. And someone else wants me to be perfect in another way.
And we all lose.
And everyone ends up mad at you, and you're in the bathroom crying your eyes out. So watch for those little embryonic things that fly around and might seem innocent, but then it grows. Certainly one of them is competitiveness, jealousy, all that stuff. A little flickering thing, well, why does she have that and I don't? Or look how, what a good Christian Scientist she is. That's a famous one. And I can't demonstrate anything. Those are the little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. You've got to catch it because they will control you if you don't. And then you don't know what the heck's going on. So keep your slate clear every day. Wash your window pane, but for what reason?
God works through you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lil. Not because you love the beautiful pane, not because you love your beautiful self, it's so perfect, but because you let God work through you and you get rid of this false sense of self, personal sense of self. Okay, now we will start. Subject, everlasting punishment, golden text. Ezekiel 18. Carol, will you read it?
Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
Thank you. And I love, love, love what Florence wrote on the forum about that. Florence, would you like to say anything, or you want someone else to read it, or...
Can someone read it, please?
Okay.
From Florence, quote, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" The emphasis on return and live. We have an everlasting, loving parent forever waiting for us to return from our ways in order to have all the good that awaits us. We leave something so precious behind all that time we waste, time thinking we know and will find our way. But there is only one way. If we can give up our way, come back to find God and humbly follow his directions. If anything appears to be hindering our journey back, we can know it is a temporary mortal mind claim. It may present as pride, some lie that you are unworthy. It does accuse that you did something unforgivable. It can aggressively argue that you cannot give up a habit, a false attraction, a false pleasure. It can insist on a physical claim as having origin and rehearse the time, how, and when, etc. If God is love alone, and he is truth, then anything unlovable cannot be true. Thus, it is unreal, and certainly something we can and must reject and return to what is real. There is no condemnation and no everlasting punishment. Let us return then to love and live, since love alone is life.
That is beautiful, and that can be an article. I love the way she dissected what keeps you from returning. Often it is pride. Gotta humble yourself. Sometimes we've talked about crawling back, crawling in. You have to do that. You know, Sharon left our church for a while, and what?
No, but I realized that I made a mistake, and I came back, and I was welcomed with open arms and so much love. It was like I never left.
And, you know, that is absolutely true. Can you imagine someone coming back here and us saying, get the heck out of here. We don't want to.
But that's what the devil tells you, that it's going to happen.
It does.
It's not true.
It does, because the next one says you're unworthy, okay? So after the pride that gets you all spoofed up, then you're not worthy. You shouldn't even bother. You're just a miserable worm. So, well, again, you keep asking, did God say that? Just leave it simply. Simply, did God say that? God would never say that. And then it does accuse you that you did some unforgivable thing. And it'll go around and around in your head over and over what this horrible thing you did. And you're in the bathroom crying your eyes out. Then it can aggressively argue that you cannot give up a habit, a false attraction, a false pleasure, addiction. God say that? Of course not. We were taught here the only habit you should have, this is from Science and Health, is the habitual struggle to be what?
Always.
Thank you.
Always good.
When I've had habits, I've worked with that, and they've gone. If you're always working to be good, then you won't be fooled by these other temptations that want you to be bad. And you know what they are. So let's not accept this aggressive claim that addiction is impossible to break. You know, I think when we left Boston that day, I told you a few weeks ago, and Lawrence, Gary, and I were there, and we left, and we saw the drug addicts stumbling around, how heart-wrenching it was. And we pray that they can be free of that. Only one attraction, that of God, good.
It just what she wrote reminds me of the prodigal son, and how important it is to finally realize that you're just eating like the pig's food, like it was, and that it's time to go back as a servant. So.
Yes. Having that humble desire to come back as a servant, to serve, that frees you of the self, all about yourself. You go back to help, do the best you can, whatever that is. And if that's a deep desire, goodness, we all need each other. We certainly all need a right thought or right action or a loving smile. It doesn't have to be some big fancy thing. You contribute to God's vineyard. Whatever is in your heart. And that can grow from something small to something bigger. Or it can just stay something small and simple but consistent. And then the last. I particularly love this one. It can insist on a physical claim as having a real origin and rehearse the time, how, and when. Well, isn't that lovely? So, and you know it, it'll say, well, there's a reason for this. Whether it's hereditary, lost your temper, you... Well, anyone else have any good reasons? Oh, well, you were out in the cold and the freezing weather. Contagion. So.
Well, my family's like that.
Yeah. All my family has this problem. So then you go, or maybe it was an accident, or who knows? It always has some reason. So then you go over and over about it. Well, it happened this and then and when. And you keep thinking about it. And giving it more and more life and feeling more and more miserable. Now, in all of these instances, you are disobeying God. In what way?
Denying his allness.
Denying his allness, absolutely.
But giving something else power besides God.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. First commandment. My Lil's on a roll today. The first commandment. I always have to remind myself that. Where am I going with this, you idiot? Speaking to myself, speaking to mortal mind. I am worshiping another God besides the one God, giving it power. And so you do suffer. And as this lesson clearly brings out, you suffer until what?
You give it up?
Stop spinning.
Yes, the first sentence. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. Well, we wish there was another way.
No shortcuts.
No shortcuts. And even if you beg on bended knee to your practitioner, if you keep sinning, you got to stop it.
There isn't a pill yet.
No pill.
But in the end, that's not really a long path. It seems like a lot on the other side, I guess.
Well, and this is why this list is so helpful. You can check it at night now that I do it. That I do this. And I don't want to do it. And it is why. And I thank God for this. You know, Mrs. Evans gave us. And I'm sure Florence does, and I do, when you get someone new or someone who needs help with something, you give them pages 390 to 393 in Science and Health. Dispute the testimony of the material senses. Suffer no claim of sin or sickness to grow upon the thought. Rise in the conscious strength of spirit to overthrow the plea of mortal mind. Banish the belief that you can possibly entertain a single intruding pain which cannot be ruled out by the might of mind. And in this way, you can prevent the development of pain in the body. Mentally contradict every complaint from the body. And it goes on in a most wonderful way. Now, you can read it, great, but do you do it? When those suggestions come, do you smack the living daylights out of them? Or do you go round and around with whatever this, all of these things, your pride, you're unworthy, you've done something unforgivable, you like the pleasures of sin, and you just let it go through over and over and over, and the embryonic suggestion at first grows and grows and grows. And you know what that is? That, my friends, is everlasting punishment. And it's not fun.
But you do it to yourself. We do it to ourselves. Because sin is punished for our benefit.
Because Lesson clearly states in Science and Health, to cause suffering as the result of sin is the means of destroying sin. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. So, I think that's number 5, Science and Health. So, if you are suffering, ask yourself, what am I doing? How am I not bowing down to the one God? What power am I listening to, or what so-called power, because it's not a power? Check your thinking. Always go back to that. And that wrong thinking is no more true than the physical problem or the physical suffering. It's all all mortal mind. Mortal mind.
Isn't that what Jesus encountered when the man that was born blind?
Blind.
His disciples asked him, who did sin? Man or his parents? They wanted to give some cause, some reality, the situation, and Jesus refused. He said, nope.
And we must make sure we always do that, because it's easy to say, well, you know, I have this problem because I was so hateful. Okay. But then you've got to erase out that hateful part too, all of it. Not just the problem, but the fact, what you think is the mental cause of it. None of it is true, because you're God's child and you do not have to have any of this. And that's why we keep applying, not just reading, but applying 390 to 393. And of course, Science and Health is full of these things. Why we keep reading it and listening to it. We let it fill us up. And this week I was so comforted by Mrs. Eddy's hymn number 23, Blessed Christmas Morn. And at the very end, the last sentence, fill us today with all thou art, be thou our saint, our stay alway. So when you think you're struggling with all this, you pray, fill me today with all thou art. Isn't that the most beautiful thought you ever could have?
Yes.
Be thou our saint, are saints. That which we look up to, that which comforts us, that which is all good. And then our stay, always. Where we stay, secret place of the Most High. I was saying that short prayer all week. So let God fill you up with all that He is. And along with that, and don't have, yeah, Gary can read in Miscellany, Admonition and Counsel, page 210, what our leader says.
Beloved Christian Scientists, keep your minds so filled with truth and love that sin, disease, and death cannot enter them. It is plain that nothing can be added to the mind already full. There is no door through which evil can enter, and no space for evil to fill in a mind filled with goodness. Good thoughts are an impervious armor. Clad therewith, you are completely shielded from the attacks of error of every sort. And not only yourselves are safe, but all whom your thoughts rest upon are thereby benefited. The self-seeking pride of the evil thinker injures him when he would harm others. Goodness involuntarily resists evil. The evil thinker is a proud talker and doer. The right thinker abides under the shadow of the Almighty. His thoughts can only reflect peace, goodwill towards men, health, and holiness.
So, you know, it's much easier to fill yourself up with God than to be constantly trying to shovel out all this stuff. So, and this is why we talk about radiation and absorption. Radiate wherever you go. And if you're not in a radiating mood, you should just stay home till you get one. Because otherwise you're going to pick up all the dreariness. Yeah, the dreariness, the garbage of the world. Radiate. Express that love. See who you can bless. Keep your thoughts filled. Fill yourself up. You know, John Denver used to sing that song, "You fill up my senses." Well, you fill up my spiritual senses. You fill yourself up with all that is God good. And think of it and say that prayer as you go about your day. It's powerful. That whole hymn is powerful. And that goes too with the, yeah, what I wrote about on the forum. God pours the riches of His love into the understanding and affection, giving us strength according to our day. Think of it. God pouring the riches of His love. And what does He pour it into? He pours it into our desire to know and love Him more. When we have that prayer that you want to understand and love God more, it creates a big opening. And so God is pouring forth all that you need for strength in that day. Don't ever doubt it. But if He's way down on the bottom of your list and you don't really care about loving or understanding Him, your little door is shut tight. Your big door. But anyway, His love that He is pouring forth can't reach you. So pray the prayer that God will fill you up with His goodness, and you will have the strength according to your day, and it will be a wonderful day. And even if it isn't a wonderful day, you're having God right there with you to meet all the challenges.
That is why we never need to fear persecution, ingratitude around us. We never need to fear the arrows that come flying at us. Keep your head low in humility, gratitude to God. and desire to know and serve God better. And the arrows will fly over you. They can't touch you.
The arrow that doth wound the dove. What? So, if you're getting arrows, are you watching? Are you loving? The total impervious barrier to any dart. And I know sometimes in the busyness of the day, I remember to do all these things, but it's not really that. It's radiating. And you will remember. It'll be natural. It'll be normal. It will be abnormal not to do these things. Because I've heard that, and I'm sure Florence says, too, oh, it's so hard. I got to remember to do all these things. No. I mean, if you're living totally in opposite of all these things, at first it is hard. It is a struggle. But that's all right. That's good. Mrs. Eddy talks about the struggle. The more you do it, it does get somewhat easier anyway, but it never stops. I mean, you can't just sit on a bench and go to sleep.
Like anything else worthwhile, it requires practice. But if you faithfully practice it, it does become easier. I'm sure that everybody has experienced that. You set your sight on something worthwhile and work at it, it does become easier. It's because God paves the way, a right desire. God supports.
Now, people today can spend hours at the gym working on their perfect bodies or whatever, but maybe they should spend some of that time on prayer. I mean, as we've been taught, these things don't just happen. You've got a desire. It's with all your whole heart, mind, and soul. And then it comes. And it means more to you than anything else. Then it comes. Now, Parthens isn't here today, but is Suzanne here? Suzanne, well, Parthens wrote a wonderful testimony. Copied one that we saw from 1919. You want to tell us about it, Suzanne, or can you tell us about it, and what you how you responded?
This is about the guy who had trouble coming clean, but he eventually did.
Yeah, and this was after he had an instantaneous healing of a rupture through the application of the truth as taught by our beloved leader. And then it said, I went on through a period of several years knowing Christian Science to be the truth, but satisfied with the results I'd gained and willing to leave the study to other people. Now, that happens a lot. You get your healing, and then, okay, goodbye. So, then what happened?
Well, eventually. Yeah, Mrs. Eddy refers to it as, you know, you get your healing and then you go back to your vomit. But is it?
Yeah.
But in his case, he thought it was good. He thought it was some appealing, whatever.
But, yeah, it didn't last long before he was in quite a state of misery. And he went to the medical, but it didn't work. So, but he had enough sense, even though he was crawling, he crawled back. He crawled back. He ended up having a wonderful healing. And then that, I would like to add that my testimony of the healing of rupture, which appeared in the journal for December 1913, still holds true in every respect. I wish to express the sincere thankfulness for every member of our little family of four, for the Christian Science literature as it comes with its message of cheer to us on this distant prairie. The Blackscomb, Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, up in the middle of Canada.
I looked on Google Maps. It's this tiny village in the middle of nowhere. I mean, really small. And I just thought about what it must have been like to be so remote, so distant, so long ago, and to have that literature come once a month that he became so grateful for. So I think often we have, it happens that you have a healing, and then you go back, you return to your life, and you go, wow, I had this great healing, now I can just keep charging along in my little world. And then you want it to happen again, and you struggle, and then you realize, you know, fast forward, that you've got to do something other than just be your selfish little recipient of a healing. It's time to listen to God's voice. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And he got it, and it turned his life around. But it made me think of the still small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. That's in Science and Health. The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. It arouses the seven thunders of evil and stirs their latent forces to utter the full diapason of secret tones. Then is the power of truth demonstrated, made manifest in the destruction of error. I just thought that was so beautiful.
It is beautiful, and that's another good watch message to know that this truth of science goes out like that. Thank you, Suzanne. Beautiful. So, and you know, Mrs. Evans had an experience like that. She was raised in science, and her father read at a big church in New York City, and she used to say she would tell her mother, "Do me some work." She just wanted her mother, you know, to be praying and healing her all the time. And so when she became an adult, she drifted quite far away. And she got something very serious. She never really talked about it, but probably somewhat life-threatening.
It was life-threatening. It was an incurable pain.
And so she, thank God she knew enough, she came crawling back, and she said she would even wash the floors of the bathroom of this church. She had her healing. She was so down, all pride, everything else gone. And that's when she was lifted up and did amazing things, you all know. So remember this, and also remember, if anyone is listening out there who is in that kind of a situation, it's never too late, it's never too severe, it's none of that. You can turn and come back to your father's house. Return and live, as Florence wrote. And she wrote also this beautiful lesson. And all of you, and every week, you all write amazing things on the forum. I can't always get to all of them, and I never know which is which and who's who as I move along. But one thing I did want to mention, Pilar, she wrote something that touched me very much, and that was about suicide and in their attempt to silence their inner demons. That is just heartrending, and that is what they are trying to do. They're trying to silence their inner demons. So again, we pray. Why we have the readings on witchcraft, casting out demons, all of this. Not true. They're listening to the wrong voice. The hymn says, I will hear no other voices. I will heed no other call. Let that be true about you and about everyone. Everyone. And just exactly what Suzanne just read. That voice going to the far corners of the earth. That is the voice. And the Bible says it roareth like a lion, shuts out these other demons, shuts them out, shuts them down.
And that's because we what comes from God is all-powerful. Nothing can resist the power of God. So when we pray for mankind, people who are enslaved by false beliefs around the world, our prayer reaches them. We can expect it to have its impact. You may not see it, we may not hear about it in the news, but your prayers do have an impact.
Now, Linda, I thought what you wrote was very helpful. What Mrs. Eddy said, give us that, please.
Okay, it was a letter she wrote to the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston. It was written February 12, 1895, so that would be 1 month after its official dedication and opening. And she was addressing this idea of who should be a member or not member, you know, or told to leave, the whole idea of excommunication. And I just quoted part of it, and she had it put in the journal March 1895. Quote, at first she says, "These matters of grave import, you cannot be indifferent to this, but will give them immediate attention and be governed therein by the spirit and the letter of this scripture." Quote, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do even so to them." End quote. And then she goes on to say, "I cannot be the conscience for this church, but if I were, I would gather every reformed sinner that desired to come into its fold, and counsel and help them to walk in the footsteps of his flock. I feel sure that as Christian Scientists, you will act relative to this matter, up to your highest understanding of justice and mercy. Affectionately yours, Mary Baker Eddy."
Thank you. That was quite something to find that. And I don't know of anyone she ever excommunicated. Maybe you all do, but I don't. So
she once fired Archibald McClellan, but only for a few days.
It wasn't her way. And if anyone had any semblance of wanting to reform and work through it, she would go the extra mile.
Right from the beginning to end. In demonology, I was just reading, she had a beautiful thing that I don't have in front of me about how important it is with these sinners to bring them back and take them in, and that God wants you to do that. So even from very beginning to the end, she spoke this.
Yes. We certainly have never excommunicated anyone here. If they've left because they've wanted to, which is how it should be, and if they want to, they should. Anyone's free to come and go. So, but as long as they're willing to work here and work things out, then good. Good. This is being the Father, Christ's Father in the prodigal son. Return and live.
Now, Mrs. Eddy rebuked all the time.
Yes, she did.
She instructed and rebuked. And she told us to follow Paul's instruction in the New Testament to rebuke and exhort one another.
Yes, never breathe an immoral atmosphere. You have to attempt to purify it, and sometimes that requires rebuking. And it's never personal. You know, Mike wrote about on the forum this personal sense. Peter's, the way he used the word love, was always personal toward the Christ. And Christ, Jesus, had this impersonal sense, this love of all things. Love is God love, not, well, you're my special buddy and I really like you. Because that kind of love can turn to hate. So it's so important that we understand these things.
What I find incredible is that both Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy were willing to lay down their lives, even though they could perceive that what the others were doing were wrong, but they were willing to lay down their lives to let the people learn on their own, because that's what they had to do.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes to that. That love is so great that if you see things that you think are wrong, that you really believe are wrong, that you can't do anything about, Jesus left, and Mrs. Eddy left when things were wrong, and they loved. That is just so wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up.
And Mrs. Eddy, one other thing I wanted to bring out. Thank you, Mike and Roy. Only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. Now, that's where this thing where Christian Scientists go around and say evil is not real. Well, the question is, have you repented of it and forsaken the unreal? Because otherwise, your words are nothing, worse than nothing. They grate people. You have to fully understand the unreality of evil, and the only way you can do it is by applying these principles that we've just talked about. So, yes, evil is unreal, and you can prove it to be so in your experience, but you, just like in math, you can't just read about it. You've got to work the problem out and make it yours, and then you will see it. Oh, yeah, it's not real. God is all power, the only power.
And much better that you not talk about it until you prove it.
Otherwise, that's where we get people think we're idiots. So take that deeply into your heart. That's an unity of good. Take it deeply in your heart and work on it for yourself. Okay, I'll have Gary end now on fidelity, which is a sobering chapter. By Mrs. Eddy in miscellaneous writing.
Experience is victor, never the vanquished, and out of defeat comes the secret of victory. That tomorrow starts from today and is one day behind it, robes the future with hope's rainbow hues. In the battle of life, good is made more industrious and persistent because of the supposed activity of evil. The elbowing of the crowd plants our feet more firmly. In the mental collisions of mortals and the strain of intellectual wrestlings, moral tension is tested, and, if it yields not, grows stronger. The past admonishes us. With finger grim and cold, it points to every mortal mistake. Or, smiling, saith, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Art thou a child, and hast added one furrow to the brow of care? Art thou a husband, and hast pierced the heart, venturing its all of happiness to thy keeping? Art thou a wife, and hast bowed the overburdened head of thy husband? Hast thou a friend, and forgettest to be grateful? Remember that for all this thou alone canst and must atone. Carelessly or remorselessly thou mayest have sent along the ocean of events a wave that will sometime flood thy memory, surge dolefully at the door of conscience, and pour forth the unavailing tear. Change and the grave may part us. The wisdom that might have blessed the past may come too late. One backward step, one relinquishment of right in an evil hour, one faithless tarrying has torn the laurel from many a brow, and repose from many a heart. Good is never the reward of evil, and vice versa. There is no excellence without labor, and the time to work is now. Only by persistent, unremitting, straightforward toil, by turning neither to the right nor to the left, seeking no other pursuit or pleasure than that which cometh from God, can you win and wear the crown of the faithful.
Sobering words, but thank you for joining our roundtable today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.